Amen, amen. If you will, remain standing and turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. And I'm also going to be reading other places in Genesis as well and looking at some things here that I trust will be a blessing to you. Amen. And I appreciate the testimonies. I'll not be long and try to just give you the thought that's on our heart and move along in that. Genesis chapter number 12, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. And we'll read together here. Genesis chapter number 12 and beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation." I notice that word, nation. "And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee." America better listen to that. "And curse him that curseth thee." Here's the phrase I underline. "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Jump over to Genesis chapter 28. And we'll see an account in the life of Jacob. Interesting that Abraham, or Abram as he's known there, is leaving Ur of the Chaldees, headed to that land God has or will promise to give him. Jacob is leaving that land that God has promised to give him and is going down to Padan Aram to find a bride. And he has a dream. Genesis chapter number 28 and verse number 10. "And Jacob went out from Beersheba," that's the lowest point of the promised land, "went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and made them for his pillows and lay down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, I will give it thee and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee," and here's my phrase again, "and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." I want to preach this morning on the thought, our God loves to bless families. Our God loves to bless families. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Help us, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I certainly do appreciate that prayer, Brother Hall. Amen. Just in my reading recently, I ran across that phrase and it jumped out at me. This week I thought on it several times, that phrase, all the families of the earth should be blessed. God makes that promise to Isaac, but when he makes the promise to Isaac, he said all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It appears to me that God sometimes uses one word or the other, meaning the same. Nations are made up of families. Families make up nations. But he says to Abraham, as I said, Abraham leaving Ur of the Chaldees, going toward the promised land, he says, I'm going to not only bless you, but in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. Then Jacob's leaving the promised land, going down to get a wife. Of course, his promise, his pledge, his covenant to God is, I'm coming back. And God said, I'm going to give you this land. You're laying on it now. You're laying on it as a wanderer. You're laying on it as a cast out. But I want you to know, one of these days you're coming back as a prince with God. One of these days you're coming back and you're actually going to own this land. And he makes that statement again. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I want to focus on those two phrases, and I underline those last phrases of those two verses, verse number 3 of chapter 12 and verse number 14 of chapter number 28. I'm sure that many of us, most of us, have read this phrase numerous times, and perhaps it hasn't jumped out at them like it did me in this week. I appreciate the fact that the Bible does that. It's again proof that it is a living book. Amen. You read last year's newspaper and you might learn something new, but it won't be fresh like the King James Bible's fresh. Amen. And it is a living book, and it can jump out at you. It can actually get a hold of you. Amen. And can deal with you in that manner. And I'm glad that it is. And so I'm focusing on the phrase or the word families. Families. And some things interesting about that, I'll say about that in a minute. You know, I love to do word studies, and most preachers do, I suppose. That is a good thing. We use words are vehicles in which we convey the message of God. Amen. And so it is good for us to try to learn new words, learn the words that we know, and learn how they work. And so we look in the Scripture and look up these words. I looked up the word families and the word family. And I was shocked to find how that it appears in the King James Bible. How early, actually, that it appears. You know, and I know, that in Genesis chapter 2, very early on in the writing of the book of God, God brings Eve to Adam, takes a rib out of his side, makes a woman out of it, brings Eve to Adam, and makes them a couple. Then in two chapters later, chapter number 4, she conceives and she bears Cain and Abel. So now they are a family. Though the word's not used there. Right. They're a couple, and then they have children and they are a family. And not to say that a couple can't be a family. It can be. But I'm just saying the word's not used in those cases. But so early on, chapter 2, chapter number 4. But the word family never appears in your King James Bible until after the flood. Right. Brother Bell taught on it some, and I don't remember if he said that was the first use of family or not. I don't remember. But it deals with, in Genesis chapter 10, first time the word families is ever found, it's found five times in that chapter. And all five times it's talking about the habitation and the land, the place that the families of the earth are going to scatter to. And it's really dealing with nations, the places or the place in which the nations will gather. Amen. And so that word there in Genesis chapter 10, talking about the habitation of the nations that became after the population explosion that came after what we know as Noah's flood. Amen. And then, of course, after the Tower of Babel experience. The Tower of Babel takes place in chapter number 11, but it's referred to in chapter number 10 about those. And I know Brother Bell did mention that, and about how those nations go out there. But I thought about this. He's talking about nations, but he calls them families. And I think right here's a good place to interject how important families are to a nation. Amen. I remember that during our meeting, one preacher, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but you remember it. One preacher really got strong preaching against a specific political party. And by the way, the family's not on their platform. God's not on their platform. Socialism is. And I'm not trying to pick a political party, but I'm trying to tell you, families are important to our nation. Families are important. When a family is divided, our nation becomes divided. When families are destroyed, our nation will be destroyed. And I think that's a very good observation to see why there is such a satanic ploy to try to divide families and to try to degrade families and try to just disrupt families in our world in which we're living.
I believe there is a diabolical plan to try to destroy the nations of our world and make it a one world system. And I believe it is a diabolical plot. Amen. Weakening and destroying families, and thus weakening and destroying nations. I heard a man, I was listening to a podcast the other day. Last week, I guess, I told my wife about it. Told about these two women that are in a perverted relationship. They've been together 12 years now. They started out two lesbians. It tells their name. One of those lesbians now has taken hormone treatments, has had surgery, and has chosen a new name. She is now he. Now her partner is upset because her partner is no longer a lesbian. She's now straight. Because she's now married to a man that used to be a woman. Now here's the question they asked, and the Washington Post came out with literal Washington Post editorial. They said, who is the most unsympathetic, the most intolerant? The woman, quote unquote, that now rejects being a lesbian, and she don't even think her partner is a good lesbian because now she wants to be a man. Or the woman that can't admit that her partner's now a man because she wants to be a lesbian so bad. What's wrong with that? They're both perverted and it's destroying the whole concept of rational thinking. Amen. Destroys the whole concept of rational thinking because what are they doing? They're undermining the family. God never put two men together. He never put two women together. Never did. Never will. Amen. And I'm not attacking them. I'm just telling you the truth. The plan for families. And by the way, God loves to bless families. The plan for families is a man and a woman, one of each. Amen. I ought to get down here and preach that. Amen. Amen. No, but seriously, that's the plan of God. God loves to bless families. And by the way, those kind of families can reproduce. They don't have to recruit. They don't have to pervert. Amen. They can reproduce. Well, amen. I didn't mean to get off on that. God loves to bless families. That's what He said in Genesis chapter number 12. I'll bless all families of the earth. Amen. Genesis 28, I'll bless all the families of the earth. Amen. God loves to bless families. Here's some more interesting information to me about the word family and families. The word families is found 174 times in your Old Testament. But it is never found in the New Testament. The word family is found 123 times in your Old Testament. And it's found one time in your New Testament. Families is not mentioned in the New Testament. Family, singular, is only mentioned one time, and that's in Ephesians chapter 5, when it's talking about the whole family. It's talking about the family of God. God the Father, God the Son, and whom the whole family is named in heaven and earth. And so it's talking about that godly family made up of born-again people. Amen. And so I got to think about that. Why is it that the New Testament does not use the word family, or doesn't use family much, and doesn't use families at all? Why is that? And I'm not sure of the reason, but I would surmise that the New Testament is not looking at even on a national basis. The Old Testament is looking at a national basis. It's not looking, and that's why families are important to the nation. Amen. But the New Testament is looking to a heavenly basis. And it's not so much entitled, or you get your entitlements in what family you were born into. No, you get your entitlements, if I said that way, by the family you're born again into. Amen. That second birth is much more important than the first birth. Amen. That heavenly nation, that heavenly family is much more important than an earthly nation or an earthly family. Amen. And so the home and the family, it is an important topic, by the way, in the New Testament. He says so much about it, teaches us through the letters of Paul to the church. And he teaches us how that we are to raise our families and how we are to instruct our families. So there's good teaching to establish a godly family there. Let me hurry. I said I won't be long. I've got 3 points I want to think about this morning, if I can, on this subject that God, our God, loves to bless families. Number one, God blesses families, and I'm going to use Abraham his story to start with. God loves to bless families when the father obeys God and follows him. God said to Abraham, not while he's sitting in Ur of the Chaldees, not while he's building a home in Ur of the Chaldees, but while he is leaving Ur of the Chaldees, God said, I'll use you to bless the families of the earth. God loves to bless families when the dad or the father obeys God and follows him. Genesis chapter number 12, we read the text there. God called Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees and to go into a land that he would show him. Amen. Abraham walked with God. Abraham followed God's commands. Amen. Now we know that Abraham was not perfect in the sinless idea. We know that Abraham made some mistakes. But he believed God and he followed God. Look at Genesis chapter number 15 and verse number 1. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come from out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, and if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Look at this. And he believed in the Lord. And he, that's God, counted it to him, Abram, for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and God counted it for righteousness. Abraham obeyed God. Abraham followed God. And God loves to bless families when the dad will believe God, when the dad will obey God and follow God. Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 3. You know this. It says, For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's quoted again in the book of Galatians and quoted again in the book of James. The three times in the New Testament, that Old Testament text of Genesis 15 is recorded and reminding us that faith is what saved Abraham. Amen. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Well, let me ask you a question. What did Abraham believe God for? He believed God for the future. Abraham's getting to be an old man, and God said, I'm going to give you this land. Abraham says, Who am I going to leave it to? Who am I going to leave it to? I don't have any heir. I don't have any family. My wife and I are childless. We don't have any children. I've got this Eliezer of Damascus. He's a good servant, God said, but he's not going to be your heir. So Abraham not only believed God for the future, but Abraham believed God for a family. He believed God for a family. Abraham no doubt was praying for one. No doubt Abraham was longing for one. And he believed God, amen, for a family. Abraham ordered his footsteps in the direction God told him to. God said, walk this way. He started walking that way. God said, every place your foot lands, I'm going to give that to you for an inheritance. Amen. Abraham believed God and set his footsteps in the direction God told him to go, but Abraham also believed God and set his family in the order that God told him to go. Look at Genesis chapter number 18. I'm just running through some of these verses right here together. Genesis 18, verse 17 through 19. You know the fact our Lord's shown up at Abraham's house before he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And verse number 17, And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I will do, which I will do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Amen. God said, I'm going to bless Abraham because I know Abraham is going to pattern his future after me. Abraham's going to direct his footsteps after me, but Abraham's also going to pattern his family after me, and he's going to direct his family in the way that I tell him to go. Amen.
And I just say this and I'll move on to my next point. Dads are not doing their children or their family any favor when you keep them out of the house of God. Amen. If you fail to walk in the ways of God, you're hurting your family. You're not helping them. I believe dads ought to lead their children to the church. I believe dads ought to lead their children in prayer. Amen. I believe dads ought to lead their children, or I'll say their families, in worship of the Lord. Amen. And in honoring the name of Christ. That doesn't mean that he has to shout more than she does. That's not what that's saying at all, but it does mean that he ought to be the leader in it. He ought not be restraining that and trying to stop that. Amen. Amen. And it wouldn't hurt him to shout more than she does. Amen. Number one, God loves the blessed families, and he does it when the father obeys God and follows God. Number two, he does it when the mother believes God and counts him faithful. Sarah is mentioned in this scripture as well. I don't believe that God blessed Abraham just because of Abraham. I believe he blessed Abraham's family because of Sarah as well. I'll say Sarah had some input into that blessing as well. Amen. There's not a lot said about Sarah in the Old Testament that is flattering towards her. Amen. We know, we say, well, she laughed when God said he's going to give her a child, and she did laugh. Abraham laughed too. Amen. And you probably would laugh if somebody said, you're 90 years old, you've never had a child yet, you're fixing to have one. You'd probably laugh or faint dead away one. Amen. But we read about how that Sarah lied for Abraham. Abraham told her to, she did. That's not commendable. That those things are not flattering to about Sarah. I'll just say it this way. A lot of what's said in the Old Testament not necessarily flattering about Sarah. But when you get to the New Testament, there's quite a bit said about Sarah in the New Testament that is very flattering about Sarah. Amen. Matter of fact, Sarah makes it to the Hebrews Hall of Fame of the heroes of the faith. Amen. Very few women made it there. Very few men made it there, but even less women. But Sarah's one of, she's the first woman that made it there. Amen. In Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. She believed God. She laughed at first, and God said, why'd you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. We know that story. But the truth is, she knew what God said. It sounded hilarious to her. But when she realized God's serious, he's not making a joke. He's serious about this. You know what she did? She said, I better get me some maternity clothes. Amen. She went to Abraham and said, you care if I go to some yard sales? Amen. None of her friends is passing them down now. They're all grown and gone. She said, I got to go get me some maternity clothes. Amen. She believed God. She counted God faithful. Not that she believed Abraham was able. Not that she believed she was able. Not that she believed in the miracle of medicine was able. No, she believed God is able. Amen. She believed that. That God is able. She believed it. Amen. And God blessed her for it. In other words, I'll just say it this way. Sarah trusted God. She probably didn't always understand his leadership. She may not have always enjoyed the route they were going. But she knew she could trust his leadership. She didn't have to understand. She needed to trust that he knew what way was best. I wouldn't doubt there's probably times that she worried and fretted, possibly shed many tears about her barrenness over those 90 years that she'd lived without a child. No doubt it's uncomfortable. It's not a comfortable life living in a tent. Not a comfortable life leaving the city and going out into the countryside and wandering from here to there. But she trusted that God knew what was best. Amen. I believe this. I believe that Sarah invested in her home life and did not fight with Abraham about following the direction that God had sent him in. Amen.
She did not separate from Abraham and quote-unquote strike out on her own in her own journey of faith. We hear that. Lord help us. We hear that. Well, I've just got to go my way. I've got to do it my own. I can't follow my dad, or I can't follow my husband, or I can't follow this or that. I just got to strike out on my own and find my own way. No, Sarah didn't do that. Sarah obeyed God. She believed God. She obeyed God. She stayed with her husband. Praise God. Amen. She stayed by Abraham's side, by the way, even through the rough times, even through some missteps. Are you listening? Abraham messed up going down into Egypt. Amen. Abraham messed up going over there with Abimelech and that crowd and having her lie. He messed up. But she stayed by his side. Praise God. And God blessed her family for it too. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, turn to 1 Peter. I've read this in our sermon on the husbands and wives. And this short sermon's getting longer all the time, by the way. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Another statement about Sarah. I like this. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Hang on, I got to get there. There we go. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 3. It's talking about the wives from verse 1, but look at verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. By the way, that doesn't mean that you can't braid your hair, you can't wear any gold, or you can't wear any clothes. It means that's not what your focus is in. Amen. But here's what it should be, the adorning. Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Amen. Now notice, think with me. I talk about Abraham going down to Egypt, and it's a mistake. Why did Sarah lie? Why did Abraham tell her to lie? Because Sarah was a beautiful woman.
Right.
Abraham said, they'll kill me to get her. The Egyptians noticed Sarah was beautiful. Abimelech noticed that Sarah was beautiful. But God said, you know what I think is really beautiful? It ain't how her hair is fixed. Amen. It ain't how fancy her clothes are. It's not in the flashiness of her jewelry. God said, you know what I really think is beautiful? It's that submissive, believing attitude. Praise God. That hidden man of the heart. Matter of fact, he said that's the holy women of old. Amen. He's calling Sarah a holy woman. Amen. She was not remembered for her physical beauty, but rather she is remembered for her honorable and humble life. Amen. As a wife and a mother. Praise God. Amen. God blesses families that has a woman like that involved in it, a godly woman. And then number 3, in closing, he said, in thee shall all the nations, or shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And then he said, in thy seed, or in thee and in thy seed to Jacob. And I'm not even dealing with Jacob, but I could in that same context. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We know that's not talking about daddy's blessing or mama's blessing. That's talking about the Son of God that's coming through the lineage of these two great men. The Son of God. So I say God blesses families that have a dad, a father that loves God, obeys God, and follows God. God blesses families that have a mother that believes God and trusts Him. Number 3, God blesses the family that has the Lord Jesus Christ as the predominant one.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ that is the focal point of where their family's reaching, the direction their family's going. Amen. Amen. Some people, their whole life is built on making their boy the best ball player in the world. I mean, he's got to make the major leagues. He's got to make the NFL. He's got to make the NBA. Amen.
By the way, I heard this the other day on the radio that the number one player, woman sport player in the WNBA is a man now. The best woman on the ball team is a man. There you go again, blow your mind out. It don't even make sense. It is a weirdo, exactly. But this, people get this whole minute, I gotta make my kid, I gotta focus, I'm gonna hire me some coaches, we're gonna really pour in the time, we're gonna put our effort in that, we're gonna make him the best ball player, him or her by the way, make him the best ball player in the world. And they put all that focus in it. And very few, I mean, you've about got a better chance of winning the lottery than you have getting picked by a major league. Amen. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying put your focus somewhere else that has a lot better dividends. Amen. Amen. He didn't say, I'll pick 1 out of 100 families to bless. He didn't say, I'll pick a few families to bless. He said, you know what I believe I'll do? I believe I'll bless every family in the world with this one thing, the Son of God. Amen. Every family in the world can be blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I got to think about that as far as missions conference is concerned. Every family in the world needs to hear about Jesus Christ. They need to hear about that blessing of God. Amen. They need to know that mamas and daddies can know God and that children can come to know God. They do need to know that. Amen. But the main point of reference for God's blessing upon Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was that Christ would come through their lineage. Amen. That Christ would be their descendant. And God was promising to bless all the families of the earth because His Son was going to bring them salvation. Amen. Salvation would be offered through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put yourself in Abraham's shoes and Sarah's shoes that day in that tent when they're talking after the Lord's left. And Sarah said, can you believe it, Abraham? We're going to have a new addition in our family. Abraham's 100. Well, at that time he's 99. Sarah's 89. But they turned 90 and 100. She said, can you believe we're going to have another? We're going to have a son. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Abraham wanted a son his whole life. God's going to give him a son. But the greatest blessing wasn't that God was going to give Abraham a son.
Right.
The blessing was that God was going to give Abraham His own son.
Yep.
Amen. His own son was going to come through the lineage of Abraham. Amen. I want to tell you, thank God for the day I realized God gave His Son for me. And what a blessing that was for me as an individual. But what a blessing that is for our family. And our God still loves to bless families. Amen. And He blesses them by giving them His Son. Amen. I think about Jacob. I'll just touch it. Jacob leaving the promised land. Going down there to get a wife. Hopefully to come back, and you know the story, God brings him back. He's fleeing for his life and leaving the promised land. But here's what God says. God says, Jacob, if I could say it this way, paraphrasing it, Jacob, don't you worry. Go ahead and go to sleep. You can dream this dream, and while you're dreaming, I'm going to make you a promise. And here's what God said. The ground you're laying on will one day be yours. You're going to come back and inherit this land after all. And it's not going to be through your deception. It's not going to be through your trickery. It's going to be through my promise and my plan. Amen. But I want to tell you something better than inheriting a piece of earth. Is inheriting a home in the sky. Amen. A home in the heavens. To know that there's a heavenly home much more important and much more enduring than this home down on this earth. God loves to bless families. Would you let Him bless yours today? Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. Our God loves to bless families. Is your family blessed as it could be blessed? You are blessed, whether you know it or not. But it could be blessed even more if Daddy will believe God, obey God, and follow Him. If Mama will believe God and trust Him. If all of us will come to know Christ, make heaven our home. All the families of the earth can be blessed. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for the testimonies and how they even worked into this.
Yes.
This thought, people thanking God for their family.
for their goodly heritage. Lord, and when they say, I thank God I had a daddy that loved God. When they say, I thank God I had a mama that loved God. Really? Ultimately what they're saying is, I thank God that God intervened and made my dad from what he could have been to what he should have been. And made my mama from what she could have been to what she should have been for the glory of God. Lord, it's all coming back to you. And you deserve all the praise and the glory. Lord, I pray work in somebody's heart right now. Work in families. And you get the glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. As we sing, would you obey the Lord? 156.